Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
The hesitancy is a no, I would say, you know, just trying to make sure it's the right time. I think that it's easier to work on things in the minors and sort of, and you know, he didn't pitch a lot last year. I think had he pitched all last season, you know, may well have debuted by now. But if he hadn't debuted, I think that we would, you know, you have a better sense of where he is. Whereas, like, you know, because he missed a lot of time last year, I think that it's been good to give him some foundation in Iowa. I'd say that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What was all that one in a million talk, Jed Hoyer? We're broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He joins us as well on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. It is the former Cub, Ryan Dempster. He is the Marquee Sports Network analyst, co-host of Intentional Talk on MLB Network, and I feel like I'm amongst two comedians when it's you, Mark, and Mark Grody here on the show.
We're hilarious, Ryan, aren't we?
We are. There's going to be a book written about us one day.
I just want to be part of the Ryan Dempster show one of these years out at the Cubs convention.
Late night?
Yeah, late night with Ryan Dempster.
If Spiegs will let you have his ticket, you know, that's how that goes.
Yeah, this
guy.
That's
a good time. We have a good time at that festival. For anybody who has never been there, and hopefully you'll get out there sometime. It's a blast.
Honestly, it's great, man, because you get everybody on. You're doing the monologue. Do you write your own monologue when you do that, or do you have a collection of writers like a lot of the talk show hosts do? How does that work?
I do my own writing. I have a wonderful producer, TJ Anarino, who works with me. He was a former member of the band. TJ's full-time gig is with Goose Island, but when we do the shows, he's got a very creative mind, so we come up with a lot of fun ideas, like, you know, little things like when we did the food, right? So food at ballparks is a big thing nowadays.
Yeah.
The nacho helmets and all these kind of different things, and then the boomstick hot dogs that are worth a pound. So we had an idea for we wanted to take it up at a level. We're going to go game-used equipment translated into ballpark concessions. So what we had was the Cleto fries. That's a game used cleat full of fries. We thought that would go well, especially with the way memorabilia is nowadays. The shin guard nachos. That's an entire game used shin guard full of nachos with cheese, which we gave to two ladies in the front, and they ate them all. Which luckily they were only used for one game. And then my favorite one, which of course, you know, after you eat all that food, nothing better on a sunny day than a jockstrap sundae.
Oh my God.
You know, you just got to be careful. It'll melt and it gets a little messy and then you need napkins afterwards.
Wow. You don't even want to describe that. Yeah.
See, this is why I like to just let the ball go. You guys take it. I hand it off to the running backs who just run down the middle of the field for the touchdown. When two comedians,
we're like David Montgomery and Jamar Gibbs.
Oh, amen. I love that.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I see what you did with the Lions shout out.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot to discuss. I love that you two can kind of riff off each other in that way.
Yeah.
I guess we have to start with the obvious, Ryan, and that is here Jed Hoyer is saying all the right things earlier in the week. We just heard him talking about Cade Horton. Next thing we know, multiple reports everywhere saying he's going to get called up. Saturday is the day everybody's eyeing. This is one of the biggest call-ups the Cubs are going to have. You know, Matt Shaw, Cade Horton, these are the two, right? So how do you see this playing out for him? What would be your advice? You know, this is a whole, it's a huge moment for the Cubs, too, when you consider what's on the line.
Yeah, I think sometimes over my course of my career here, both as a player, now as somebody who's been a part of the organization, somebody who's been in the media, I think sometimes we need to slow up a little bit, you know? Like, let's just, like, not every guy who's down in the minor leagues and is doing well is the second coming of Jesus. They all can't be the Pope. You know what I mean? Like, we just need to just chill a little bit. Like, this kid's still got growth to happen. I mean, we're seeing it with Ben Brown. He can be awesome, and he can strike a lot of guys out, but it's hard. The big leagues are hard, and when you play in big markets, you're not afforded the ability to fail a lot. Like, you're like other places. Like, I came up with the Marlins. I sucked. I pitched 5 days later. I sucked again. I pitched 5 days later. They're like, go get them, kid. Learn. And I was able to develop and eventually be somebody who could pitch in the major leagues. When your expectations are you're going to come up and dominate, well, like, the guys you're getting out in Double A and Triple A are not as good as the guys that are in the big leagues. The scouting is not as fast. The adjustments aren't as fast. The execution of, you don't get away with mistakes as much as you do. So there's a lot of these things. I think he's got tremendous stuff. I think he's got great makeup, and I think that he's going to be a very good big league pitcher one day. I just sometimes I when we freak out and we're like, hey, call him up. Look what happened with Matt Shaw. Got to have Matt Shaw in the big leagues. Got to come to the big leagues. Guess what? It's hard to hit in the big leagues, and like, he's going to be fine. The same thing with Cade Horton. I hope he comes up and dominates. Very few Justin Verlanders out there. Very few guys who show up in the big leagues and dominate on their way to 250 to 300 wins with 3,000 strikeouts. It just doesn't happen a lot. So let's let him learn. And it might take a few bumps and bruises along the way, but this kid's got great stuff and great makeup.
Yeah, not, and what came to my brain, Ryan, when you said that was like Mark Pryor, like, or kind of spoiled people. When he came up and could do no wrong for a couple of years before he started getting injured, obviously Kerry Wood. And then you're right. You see guys around the league that everybody wants the phenom. When Strasburg came up, and there's countless guys that have come up, and then they do it, and then they spoil it for everybody. But I think your point is good, because most guys are not phenoms when they first come up. But there is a certain expectation, you're right, in Chicago.
Yeah, and most guys that are phenoms come up and struggle,
mm-hmm.
or they have a good game, a couple good games. You don't know. We want to map it out, and we want to punch all the numbers into a computer, and you know, have heart monitors to measure that, and study their brains to tell you who's going to be the best. We don't know. Like, you never know. AJ Burnett. Here's a great example. AJ Burnett. We all remember,
yes.
Right-handed pitcher, yeah. Pitcher with the Marlins,
yeah.
Blue Jays, Yankees.
Yep.
You know, Pirates. AJ Burnett was terrible in Double A in 1999, stinking it up. He had a 5 ERA. And John Bowles was our manager, and John Bowles had an idea. He said, you know, AJ likes the big lights and the bright. He loves that attention. Let's call him up. He flies across the country to LA to pitch against the Dodgers and throw 7 innings and dominates, and they sent him back to Double A. And then he sucked in Double A. And then he came back up to the big leagues, and he ended up thriving. But, like, the path is different for everybody, and the journey is different for everybody, and we can't predict what's going to happen. The only thing that Cade Horton can control is whether or not he executes pitches and throws strikes. And if with the stuff he has, if he throws strikes and he executes more often than not, guess what? He's going to get people out. But it's a tough league, and you're going to find that out real fast.
Yeah. One thing that I did not find hilarious that I didn't necessarily like, and I want your opinion on it, is we had John Paul Morosi was on the radio station yesterday on the afternoon show with Spiegel and Holmes, and he said, like, this is not what he was necessarily desiring. He's saying the Cubs, it's not out of the question that the Cubs, maybe they go with an opener, that maybe somebody like Chris Flexen pitches the first inning of the game, and then they ease Cade Horton in. Why I took exception to it is because Lindor, Soto, and Alonso are the first three guys. Don't you want the best possible pitcher in that situation to face the heart of the lineup, because most of the guys aren't hitting in this Mets lineup? Or do you look at it the other way?
Yeah, I think you got to evaluate how many pitches are you looking to go with them. What's the depth of what she's going to pitch into a game? But I understand the concept of the opener. I think you're just delaying the inevitable. You know, you're picking a time to throw the reliever against them, and you know, but just because you start an opener doesn't mean those guys will, you know, can't hammer that guy either, or that the opener is a young kid who goes up and makes his debut and does well. It is a slippery slope. We don't know. At the end of the day, if you execute pitches, I don't care who's hitting. You throw 9 Francisco Lindors up in a row and throw a bunch of Juan Soto's up. You're going to get them out. That's just how pitching is. Good hitters, you don't get away with mistakes. Great hitters, they make you pay with the ball over the fence. And that's just how, like, so if you're executing, we see it. You fail, you're great. You maybe go to the Hall of Fame and you succeed 30% of the time. That's how hard it is to hit. And that's a byproduct and dictated by the guy on the mound who's able to get ahead, throw strikes, get ahead. You know, I can go on down my baseball reference and look at my games that I pitched bad. Usually I wasn't throwing strikes. I was falling behind. I was issuing free passes. Not too many times in my big league career did I get just whacked around. It was usually because I wasn't throwing the ball where I wanted to.
Well, yo, really quick, Layla, you're going to love this. And Ryan, you just brought Ryan Dempster's first career. You remember your first career start, I assume, Ryan Dempster, yes?
Wrigley Field. It was easy. I punched out Brant Brown on 3 pitches. It was a piece of cake.
Get it.
And then
walk homer. Next thing you know, I'm sitting on my hands in the dugout wondering what the heck happened. You know, like, that's how fast it can happen. So that's case in point. If I would have just continued to throw strikes and throw it over the strike zone, guess what? I'm going to get results. But because I wanted to get scared of Mickey Morandini and then face Sammy Sosa, him on a barrage of homers, that's what happens. Oh. But we live and we learn and we get better, and that's all we can do.
And you were eventually dominant at Wrigley Field. That is the, yes. I guess, irony, if you'd like to throw that in there, that a bad first start at Wrigley Field, and this guy was absolutely dominant at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, pretty lucky, pretty fortunate.
I think you bring up a good point, though, in the way you make it simple. You know, we talk a lot about pitch mixes that guys have. We were talking earlier about Jameson Taillon, you know, throwing in a few different strategies to what he does. But just the concept of, not only is it a much easier life for you if you're throwing strikes as a pitcher, but to remind yourself that even though the best pitch to hit is a strike, if you're facing a guy like Juan Soto, that's still got to be the game plan. Yeah, you know, that is a part of this that perhaps we don't even identify enough just in that discussion right there, like you mentioned.
Yeah, it really is. And the better the hitter, the more strikes you have to throw. Now, you can't throw them down the middle, but you have to bear down. And that's where your practice comes in. That's where your bullpen sessions come in. And you tell yourself, this is what I have to do. And you take deep breaths and you're in that moment. You know, it's like when you're facing a really good lineup and a team that scores a lot of runs. And one thing I learned over the years, it's almost like I watched this interview with Evander Holyfield talking about when he beat Mike Tyson, you know, before the ear bite thing. And he's like, I knew I had to take his best punch. And I had to do it early in the fight. And if you remember, I think it was early in the first round, he took a shot right to the face from Mike as hard as he could. And he said, in that moment, when I kept going, Mike all of a sudden was like, oh, no, this guy can take a punch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the same when you're facing hitters. When you're aggressive to good hitters, now you put them on the defensive a little bit. Or you put them on the offensive, and now you can do stuff like change speeds. But you have to. If you're just going to fall behind those guys, Pete Alonso, 2.031, you're paying for it. Bottom line, look at the numbers. Those numbers don't lie. Slug percentage goes up. On-base percentage goes up. Damage goes up. But then when you're ahead, 0-1, 0-2, don't waste pitches. Continue to attack that strike zone. Greg Maddux always said it. Toughest count to hit is 0-2, so I'm going to throw a strike because that's going to be your best chance to get a guy out in that situation. So, yeah, a lot of different moving parts, but you'll never – and you know, guess what? Craig Counsell is never going to be upset. He's not going to come back after the game and be like, could you believe that? Cade Horton kid just throwing the ball over the plate all day. He'll take that any day of the week over a guy who's picking around the strike zone and walking guys. No doubt about it.
Ryan, what is your assessment of this Cubs team right now? Lost 2 out of 3 to the Giants, but you know what the record is overall. What do you think?
Yeah, can score runs. I was asked a month ago what I thought about, you know, this team. What was one definite thing? I said they're going to score runs. They're always going to find a way to score runs. You know, lost a tough series, had a chance to win that last game of the series, but didn't get it done. And but, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you're going to find yourself grinding a lot if you're a pitcher. You see what they do. Look what they did to Verlander. He's out of there after five innings. It's like they grind starting pitchers. They foul off pitches. They make them work. And that great offenses do that. That's what we did when I was in Boston in 2013 and we won the World Series. You look at our lineup. Nobody had other than Big Poppy had 30 homers. And we just grinded out the other pitcher. We got to that bullpen. We got guys in. We got them over. We did the little things. We took the extra bases. To me, when I think about this team, that's what I see when I see especially their offense and their ability to do that.
We're talking to Ryan Dempster of Marquee Sports Network, former Major League pitcher on The Score, enjoying a little comedy, a little baseball talk. Mark Grody is in for Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Rahimi.
Do you think that PCA is going to have to take a few deep breaths going back to to New York, the team which drafted him and eventually traded him for Javier Baez?
That's a good question. I'm sure he will. He is so good and so talented. And when he lets the game come to him, when he's not trying to go get the ball, when he's not trying to expand his strike zone, good things happen. Obviously, defensively, as long as he dives in time for the ball, as we saw the other day, just giving him a hard time. but he's the difference maker on so many different aspects. You know, some guys can hit, some guys can play D, some guys can run the bases. He can do all three. And from experience, when you face an old team that traded you away, even as happy as you are in the new place, There's just a little tiny bit extra there that feels really good to stick it to your old team. And I have a feeling that he really would like to do that as he's there in New York City.
Who did you enjoy sticking it to the most?
The Marlins.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I never got to reface the Cubs, which, you know, I honestly had so much love, but they traded me away from all my boys. You know, those were those guys. We all grew up together. We all came up with the Marlins. I was in the Westin Hotel, you know, just fresh off the plane, got traded after the All-Star break in 2002, and I'm crying my eyes out. I miss you guys. I'm never going to have teammates like you again the rest of my life. You know, it was hard. So I always wanted to, not to the players. I always wanted to stick it to the front office that traded me away. And you know, I was able to, for the most part, do that on a regular basis.
Yeah. Hey, I know you got Pope thoughts. I mean, you said Pope, so we've got to allow you. Now that you've been in Chicago long enough to be a Chicagoan, so what do you think about the Pope situation?
First of all, I think it's amazing. I mean, you want to talk about inspirational. The fact that the Pope is from America, I think, is incredible. Then he's from Chicago. It's just unreal. I don't know if we have confirmation. You know, I know some people said he's a Cubs fan, but then his brother supposedly said he's a White Sox fan, but the mom's a Cub fan. So we don't really truly know where that lies. You know, it could be in there. if it is a Cubs fan, a Southsider from Chicago being a Cubs fan, I didn't think it could get much worse for the White Sox fans nowadays. But I guess that would pretty much sum it up. You know, I thought that ball off the top of the head was as low as it was going to get this year.
Oh, man, Chase Magroff,
But more importantly, I think it's just, you know, an incredible accomplishment for him to represent, you know, the Catholic Church and people around the world, and everybody from the city of Chicago is quite remarkable and pretty special.
Ryan Dempster, thanks so much for the fun, the baseball insight, and the thoughts. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Absolutely. Great to be with you.
See you, Ryan.
That was Ryan Dempster of Intentional Talk on MLB Network, the Marquee Sports Network. And also, he really does do a lot of improv work around town. That's why I brought it up, Mark.
Yeah. No, he does. No, you're right. And he's got that in him. You know what I mean? He's an entertaining guy. Like, I did cover him a little bit. I don't know if Ryan remembers, but because I was doing it so sporadically, like when he was first with the Cubs. And I remember going into the locker room, and he did something that players don't typically do. I said, hey, do you get a minute to talk? And he said, not right now. He said, but maybe in a couple minutes. A lot of times when that happens, the athlete will then go hide or they won't circle back. He literally found me in the locker room and was like, hey, this is a good time to talk, Mark, so I could talk. I was like, oh, great. Thanks.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, just as, you know, sometimes we are critical of players and when I tell my Nate Davis stories and things like that, but like that's a good story. Like he's always been one of the baseball's good guys.
You were right on about Nate Davis.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he told me he had to go play ping pong. So I was like, all right, that's cool. And it was funny. Nate Davis.
I don't want to think about that right now. Yeah. Hey, this from Adam Schefter, by the way. This is a pretty big deal. Ray sent us this. Free agent running back Nick Chubb is not expected to return to the Browns, general manager Andrew Berry said today. So I guess that Kent Carman on The Fan in Cleveland was onto something, now, wasn't he?
Yeah. Who is that? Andrew who? Andrew Bear? He?
Andrew Berry. Not to be confused with Ryan Poles and or Colston Loveland.
Or Kyle Bearclaw. Should not be confused with them either.
Now you're just going places.
I'm just out of control.
You're right. Yes. So what better thing to do than to bring in Chris Emma from Hallis?
Oh, some people like Chris Emma?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Next on The Score.
Awesome. Thank you. The Bears.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Some people like Chris Emma. It is Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody is in for Marshall Harris. And we go back out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find Chris Emma, fresh off of listening to the Bears talk at rookie minicamp on day one. Hey, Chris.
What's up? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. We have to get to the bottom of this immediately. So I don't know how this happened, but Colston Loveland is a dead ringer for Ryan Poles from a voice standpoint.
Oh, wow.
You didn't hear it?
I wasn't perceptive to that, but now I got to go back. That's going to be the first thing I do when I sit back down. Man, now we cracked the code. Why Loveland over Warren? Now we know that there's the voice similarity.
It sounded exactly alike.
Wow. All right. I'm going to get back at this. I'm going to text you and confirm my thoughts.
Okay. I'll be looking forward to that. I'll probably be off the show. But what were your observations other than that from Hallis Hall?
You know, I'll preface this by saying it was a very detailed, fundamentally sound workout where you're really going through technique, a lot of individual drills, barely if any team drill out there. But it was the first impression we got to have watching this new Bears coaching staff lead a practice. And I was fascinated trying to follow my eyes with Ben Johnson. Where's he going as a first-time head coach? Who's he looking at? And the answer was he's kind of everywhere. And I asked him about his style, what he wants of these practices, especially rookie minicamp, where you being realistic, probably about 10 or so of these guys will be on the team, on the practice squad, probably 15 when you add the practice squad. come September. But I think for him, it's just getting on the grass and understanding what you need to do to lead a team. And he said his style is going to vary based on what players need and understanding his personnel that way. I talked to somebody here who said, like, this guy is the nicest guy in the world. When you talk to him in the building, and the second he steps between those lines, he's a totally different person. And that matches everything I'd heard from Detroit. He's going to be very demanding. He's got a style that's going to really get the best out of people during these practices. And it's going to be really fun to see when you get into OTAs here in a couple weeks, and then certainly come July and August for training camp, when you really get a sense of how Ben Johnson is going to work and lead this team forward. Obviously, a lot of understanding and leaning on his assistants too. Eric Bieniemy, like, we heard all about his reputation. You could hear him today. He's getting on, guys. Dan Rauscher is getting on his offensive lineman.
Okay.
You get a sense of why Ben Johnson is drawn to these coaches and what they can get out of these players. And it's going to be fun, especially when the pads come on, those hot summer days in training camp. Like, you're really going to get a sense of what these guys are doing to get to their players.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to have a very yelly coaching staff. Lots of yelling going on. Okay, that's all right. I mean, that sounds like – I mean, it's always – like in any sport, it's usually the opposite of what the previous regime was. Maybe there wasn't enough yelling under Flus, and now we've got a whole bunch of yelling going on out at Halas Hall. We also saw a video of the great Kyle Manungai running through the cones and doing running drills out there. Are you believing in the seventh round draft pick, and will he be part of a running back rotation for the Bears this year?
I think he will in some form. I'm not buying. There's been so much talk and a lot of nonsense out there about the idea the Bears were looking at Nick Chubb or looking at Dobbins or whoever it might be, a trade for Kenneth Walker. They're happy with this group right now. Like, they were seeking running back upgrades, and it didn't fall their way. You know, Ashton Jeanty, the price is too much. Judkins and Henderson in the second round, both snatched before pick 39. Scadaboo and Tudor in round 4, both snatched before pick 109. Like, they didn't have their chance to get their running back that they wanted until Manungai. And look, they believe in this kid. I think they feel really good about getting him in the seventh round, but let's temper expectations too. Like, he had a great college career, but he fell to the seventh round for a reason. There's some things that scouts see it. Like, let's calm it down a couple notches here. I'm going to take it back to DeAndre Swift, who obviously was not here today for rookie minicamp. They still believe in this guy. They gave him a big, hefty contract. Last year did not go well for him at all. He struggled 3.7 yards per carry, but he did not have the protection in front. He did not have an offensive line that was able to open up those holes, and he was sitting back there dancing way too darn much. Eric Bieniemy is going to take care of the dancing. Mm. Like, there's going to be no more dancing for DeAndre Swift this year. And if not, they're going to get some competition to really press him even harder. Maybe that's where, if DeAndre Swift does not look like the guy they hope he's going to become in year two of the Bears, you might see a running back come in July or August. But they're excited to see how he responds to this coaching staff, to upgrades on the offensive line, a new interior there, and a head coach in Ben Johnson who seems to genuinely believe in his future.
What if I told you, Chris, Emma, this tweet from Adam Schefter? What if I told you that free agent running back Nick Chubb is not expected to return to the Browns, according to GM Andrew Berry? He said that today.
Why?
Do you now, because it's Friday and we're ridiculous, do you still think it is nonsense that he could end up with the Chicago Bears?
I wouldn't rule out anything, but I don't see it imminently, certainly. I just don't see that happening. He's 29.
Uh-huh.
He's coming off a devastating knee injury a couple years ago. He had a foot injury last year. I don't see this guy being the Nick Chubb of old. Like, he's not going to be the guy you saw a couple years ago just lighting up the world, one of the best backs in the league. He's going to be a limited rusher, if that. And there's a lot of medical concerns that I have about him. And even if he's completely healthy, I just don't see him being the guy that we've seen of years past. So I'm passing on it. I'd much rather rely on the guys that are there in that room than anybody else.
I already feel like we're seeing some fired up quotes too, you know? So I think guys are motivated. Like, obviously Luther Burden is already talking about his draft positioning. You're hearing other players just talk about where they want to be. You know, we did hear Colston Loveland with an eager attitude. You know, what were some of your takeaways of just what they said when it came to that point? Like, just the overall tone of it, each individual who you may have heard.
Yeah, I was the one who asked that question to Luther Burden, because we heard him in that Zoom after he got drafted, and there was just no emotion, no excitement whatsoever. He was ticked off. And you recognize that when he was on that practice field at Missouri Thursday night into Friday morning, working on the jugs machine and catching balls. And this is a guy who's highly motivated. And so I asked him today, you know, is that something you'll leave behind a draft weekend? You're happy to be here, or is he carrying that? He said, I'm going to make everybody pay who didn't draft me. And he means it. This is a guy who wears that chip on his shoulder. He's a super talented player. We know that he was super talented coming out of high school, biggest recruit ever to land in Missouri. And he's super talented. He proved it in the SEC. This is a guy the Bears were thrilled to have fallen to them at pick number 39. And they didn't need a wide receiver. They weren't necessarily looking at that, but he was so high above everybody else on the draft board. They had no choice. And they're really thrilled to see how he fits within this offense. Ben Johnson's got to be just so excited. I mean, you got three dynamic wide receivers. You got two really talented playmaking tight ends who can do different things within your offense. You got a running back room that has a little bit of depth and some intrigue. The world's your oyster, Ben Johnson. Go get it. I'm excited to see how this scheme comes to fruition.
Emma, well, I'm going to ask you a question that we had on the five on it today, and that is, which second-round pick of the Bears, because these are really important picks, which second-round pick on the Bears will have the biggest impact? Luther Burden, Ozzie Trapillo, or Shamar Turner will have the biggest impact on the upcoming season?
After that endorsement of Luther Burden, I'd love to see him, but I'm going to go Ozzie Trapillo. Okay. I really believe that he is going to be a starter on this offensive line. And he worked primarily at left tackle today. Like I said, there wasn't much team drill. There wasn't much of an opportunity to line up like that. We understand, like, they're open-minded to the idea of moving Darnell Wright from right tackle to left tackle. This is not going to be something they experiment with and go back and forth and see where it fits. This is something where they're going to make the decision, and that's set, and he's your left tackle. And it's not going to happen during OTAs. I don't think it's going to happen until they get the pads on in training camp, but I see Darnell Wright as the Bears' left tackle going into this season. That turns it to the right side now. Ozzie Trapillo is a guy who's played both sides, moved around to Boston College. I think he's your starting right tackle this year. And they believe in him, certainly. They have high regards for him. It's why you take him in the second round. They were thrilled to get him in that spot. I think it's his job to lose, ultimately, at right tackle. And he's got a lot to prove. Even he talked about today, I'm a rookie. I'm eager to learn. There's so much I want to do and get better at. But I think you're going to see his physicality combined with his technique really shine during training camp. And I think he's somebody who they see as their starting tackle.
Raheemy and Harris Show, Mark Grody in for Marshall Harris. We're on with Chris Emma, our Score Bears reporter. And Chris, we have the audio. Do you want to listen to the similarities between Colston Loveland and Ryan Poles?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's go.
We've talked about it. It's like, whatever I can do, we'll do. Whatever, you know what I mean? We'll play it by ear. So for sure, whatever I'm able to do, we're going to make sure we get that done.
Who do you think that was?
I thought that was Ryan Poles.
That's amazing.
That's Colston Loveland.
That was the Aussie I just heard an hour ago.
All right, let's hear Ryan Poles now. Listen in.
Both really good players.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of conversations there back and forth. Tyler's going to be a great football player as well. Just in terms of what fits what we want to do a little bit better with the personnel group that we have here on our roster, we thought that the combination of what we have was the better fit.
Why is Colston Loveland talking about the combination of players they have?
That's a heck of a call, Layla. I'm absolutely with you. That's Colston Loveland, Ryan Poles, the voice makeover. Yeah, it really clashes. I'm with you. They sound exactly alike.
It's amazing. By the way, you told us about Ozzie Trapillo. Do you have any idea what they're going to do with Ozzie Zapillo? Is he going to be? Is he a swing tackle or backup?
He's the Cubs' third baseman. No, he's.
Oh, there you go.
He's the next guy to play third base for the Cubs.
No, wait, hold on. I'm being told Ozzie Zapillo has been picked up by Bears, too. Bears, too, have added Ozzie Zapillo.
Him and Max Rutherford on the line are going to create a hell of a combo. The cheerleaders for Bears, too, are going to love that combo.
Oh, my God. The Honey Bears are back on Bears, too. We'll tell you all about Bears, too, another time, Chris. It's
they just care
game
about numbers.
Please do.
Yeah,
the
sorry.
Bears, too, cares about the spreadsheet.
Yeah, we talked about the Bears, the Chicago getting a second team in the NFL, and we named it Bears, too, because we didn't have anything better to name it. So
I mean, gosh, You got the Pope one day. You're trying to get a second football team in the city next. You're getting greedy here.
Hey, Mike Florio is the one who threw it out there, combining the Bears and Bengals stadium requests
and the Pope could get two teams in Chicago. Chris, why are you lessening the power of the Pope?
Have we found out if the Pope was a score caller yet?
Oh my God.
To get to the bottom of that. There are some thoughts.
No, but I got
a lot of thoughts about Bernard Berrien being like the best receiver in Bears history in the making. Or
if one of the Bob from the South Side callers was indeed him.
We need to look into this. I want a full investigation.
Him?
No, yeah. Never.
We hung up on the Pope. We interrupted. Bernstein hung up on the Pope.
No, no. Don't get this rumor started. Don't do it. Oh, no. That's a horrible thought.
What are you talking about, Pope?
So coming up next, Chris Emma, thank you so much for joining us from Palace Hall. We look forward to your reports all weekend.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris. So that's it.
Max Rustifer
and Ozzie Zappillo are on the offensive line for Bears 2.
Right. Back in the day, Sam Mustifer was at center and a backup on Bears 2, though. Rex Mustifer, I can't even mess it up
Max
as badly
Rustifer.
As Parkins did. I mean.
Why? It just
Max
is two
Rustifer.
Words.
Max Rustifer,
yes. You're not going to do the obvious, like, everybody talks. And
no, because
like
I did it. Like, I think I was the very first person to do the Parco.
And then we all
and then everybody did it. And they're all really good. Like, and I have no issue with that. But, of course, I have to zag now. Everybody's doing that. So now I have brought it back down to just two words. I mean. And by the way, Parco will be in studio today at 3 o'clock on the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Yeah, because he was one of the award winners at the Barrett Sports
Damn
Summit.
Damn right he was. So Parco in the house.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
Yeah, man.
Coming up next, we're thankful that everybody's alive still right now. You're running yesterday.
Oh, I had a day, man.
I need to hear this. This is next.
Max Rustifer.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, Mark Rohde.
Yes?
I think we should do a giveaway. What do you think?
I like it.
All right,
dreamy.
Let's do it right now. Caller 6 to the Score contest line, 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs against the Marlins at Wrigley next Wednesday night, May 14th. That is May 14th, scheduled release night in the NFL. Provided by Bosch Power Tools, the more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. What happened yesterday?
I think it's pretty self-contained. The only thing that I need to say to set it up with is this is after the Rahimi and Harris show. I was filling in for you yesterday because you were out on a panel at the big broadcaster convention going on in town. And so I had to run to the studio on the afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes to break some news to them. Here it is.
Mark Grody has stepped into the studio and put on the headphones and has something to share with the class.
Dave Wannstedt is alive, ladies and gentlemen. There was a rumor going around on something called MTSOOCER. It says, rest in peace. NFL world mourns the loss of former Miami Dolphins football head coach Dave Wannstedt passes away at 72 after a brief illness. Now, what just happened backstage is that Chuck Swirsky, being concerned, heard about this, immediately called Mitch Rosen and said,
what?
And passed along his sympathies. He said, I'm really sorry to hear about Wani dying at the age of 71 or 72. And then Mitch was able to patch in Dave Wannstedt and have a three-way talk. Chuck thought it was an AI Wani because he really thought that we had lost Dave Wannstedt, and now Chuck Swirsky, moments ago on Facebook, I personally just spoke to Coach Wannstedt, and he is alive and well and shot a 90 in golf and excited that Pope Leo is from Chicago. That is from Chuck Swirsky, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Wannstedt remains alive. It's a hoax. What a day today has been. But that is exactly what happened. I saw it unfold. Mitch had them all on the phone there. It took Chuck about 10 minutes to believe it, and Wani was he's alive. He convinced him that he is still with us on this very papal day.
And in this fake news era, we've got to prove it. We're going to prove it right now. We've got Coach on the line.
Oh, Wani!
Hey, what are you guys doing?
Oh, my word. Well,
what is happening to the show?
You know what? I'm fixing me a Jason. Bourbon right now. My buddy is right now.
Okay. Are you all right? Are you okay,
hey,
Coach?
What a bunch of that's me.
Whoops.
Yeah. Hey, let me just tell you,
I'd
shot
be bad
90
too.
Today, okay? I'm over at my buddy's house, Phil Basile, and we're going to play some bocce, have some something to eat, and he's got octopus on the grill. I'm going to have a cigar and drink. And I tell you what, this is, well, I don't know. You know, what can I say?
Well, but what's you're fine, though, right? Like, you're okay, and there's nothing wrong, and you went and played golf, and everything's cool.
Everything is 100% cool. Never been better.
Oh, my word. First of all, the artificial intelligence sports stories are out of control right now. I just need you guys to know that, everybody who uses Facebook. It's pretty bad, but that is hilarious.
And yes, one thing I should have pointed out, that was the middle of, or actually towards the end of their segment with Jason Leisure from the Sun-Times. That's why you heard his voice. He's like, what's going on here? What is happening? He was hilarious in the background of that. But as Dave said, yeah, I'm at my Haas right now. I'm all good.
Oh my goodness.
He's playing bocce or whatever.
I like the additional information that was added in there, like most Florida retiree thing ever. Not only am I alive, I shot a 90 today and I'm playing bocce. And I'm happy about the news.
And I wonder if he had had a couple of Terry Bradshaw bourbons too, because I've never heard Dave. I mean, he gave us the full, that is BS, but he didn't say BS.
No,
he gave us the full word. We all heard it loud and clear in our headphones. You probably got a treat if you were on the Odyssey app. Maybe you still
could. What the hell are we talking about?
No, that wasn't the word he used. Nope, that's not the one.
What in the Hades?
But I don't blame him. I'd be like, yeah, don't be offing me, man. I'm 72, but I got a lot of life left. I'm out here in Florida golfing, living my best life, and doing some of the best media in town.
Yeah, he is. That bear show you guys had for the draft was awesome.
Oh, my God, that was great. Dave Wannstedt eating pizza for the first half an hour of the show. He was hilarious. He kept talking, Coach, this is what I do. During the draft, when we're in the war room, we're eating pizza. I'm like, okay.
They've redeemed the quote on Twitch. So, quote, what a bunch of blank. They have it in there, though, because they can. Wani on his supposed, quote, death, end quote.
I'm so glad that Wani is with us. And I'm glad Chuck is like, God bless Chuck, man. He was just so worried. He was calling Mitch to give Mitch condolences.
But those things
God.
Are getting really, really sophisticated on Facebook. I don't.
Like deaths?
No, just the whole AI sports story aspect. Like, man, the way, and Facebook isn't filtering at all.
This is the wild, we are, let's just be present here. We're in the wild west of artificial intelligence right now, right? Nobody knows what it is or how it helps or how, well, I think we have an idea, but it's cray.
It is indeed. It is indeed. We have the two men in the house today. Matt Spiegel, Lawrence Holmes are in the house, so we will transition with them next. Layla Rahimi, Mark Grody, and you on the score.
What the hell are we talking about?